Stand for the reading of the scripture if you are able, and turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2. Excuse me. And we will read the first 8 verses of Philippians chapter number 2. We'll be done about the same time we usually end. Of course, it says on that clock it's only 10 o'clock, so I have a long time. I hope you don't get hungry. Actually, I'll get hungry. When I get hungry, that's when I know it's time to stop. I don't care what you think. When I get hungry, it's like, it's over. Let's go. All right. I'm not hungry. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for all that you do for us. I pray you'd bless our brief time together this morning and help us, Lord, as we continue to strive to look outside of ourselves to those that you bring into our life, to those that you bring to us, that we may have an impact and make a difference in their life and make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, We are this year, our theme is making a difference. We want to be difference makers. We make a difference by making a difference in the lives of others. And that has been our focus and what we're looking at. Our verse in Jude there is, of some have compassion, making a difference. And that is really the theme about all that we're talking about the beginning of this year, particularly on Sunday morning. In the time in which we live now, like never before, it's very easy, and many people are obsessed with themselves. We call that self-love. We use the term, and I'm sure you've heard it before, narcissism. Say, what is narcissism? Well, it's a mythical story of a character named Narcissus who was very proud and really didn't even care about those that even cared about him. He had another one of the mythological characters, Nemesis, decided to mess him up. So he set it up so that Narcissus would go by and see his own reflection in a lake. And they didn't have mirrors back then. And as he looked at his own reflection, he thought, wow, what a good looking guy. Kind of like I do when I look in the mirror every morning. But I get over it quick. But he saw this. He fell in love with himself to the point that all he could do was stare at his reflection in the water to the point where he didn't move, and he eventually died there. He could not pull himself away. Now, we're not that bad in our society. But narcissism is when we have a little bit too much of a fascination for ourselves. We don't call it narcissism. We are the selfie generation, right? Pictures of ourselves. Got some statistics I read recently. Thank you, Brother Bichardo. In 2013, the third most popular Instagram hashtag was me. Not me, but hashtag me. A 2014 study found that young people today are way more narcissistic than during the 90s and the 80s. Of course, that's because of technology. In 2015, 24 billion selfies were posted to Google Photo. That's only one forum. The average millennial, and we're not getting on millennials, it's just that's who they were talking to, because it's not just millennials, is expected to take 24,000 selfies in his and her lifetime. Now, one of my favorite people of all time, the Kardashians. Kim Kardashian, she's not my favorite, okay? It's the other one. No, I'm kidding. It was the dad. No. Let's get back to the Bible here. But Kim Kardashian, I guess she posted a booklet, a book of pictures of herself entitled Me. You read that book? Oh, thank you for sharing. Can now sit up straight, hands on your lap, and listen. Thank you. I think this is ironic, and this is what you need to understand. One study found that while 77% said they took a selfie at least once a month, of those same people, 90% said they viewed other people's selfies as self-promotion. Now, there's some overlap there. So the same people that are posting selfies say that it's selfish when someone else posts a selfie. You know how it is. It's wrong. What you do is wrong. What I do is just fine, all right? And then there's a woman's magazine. They did a study that found that flooding your social media with too many self-portraits can alienate your friends and cause people to feel less intimate with the selfie enthusiast. The thing is, why do we do that? It's just we're too much into ourselves. And it's not that selfies make us selfish, it's because we've always been. It's just that now we have the technology or the forum, which just shows the selfishness that society really has had all along. We're into ourselves. If we don't believe it, just look at social media and how all of it is about ourselves. Several years ago, there was a girl, a college-age girl. She went to Auschwitz, the death camp, where the Nazis killed many, many Jews. And if you go to that was their main camp. And if you go there, you can't, I've never been there, but you couldn't help but be moved by what happened there. But you know what she did? She went there and she saw it as a photo op. And she took a selfie of herself with a nice big smile. Now, I'm not getting on her. She probably didn't mean it and just didn't know what she was doing. But that's kind of where we're at. We miss things because we're just looking for a photo op. The Bible tells us that we're not supposed to be into ourselves. Now, we're supposed to take care of ourselves. I understand all of that. But if we're going to be people that make a difference, we have to step outside of ourselves sometimes. And we have to see life. We have to see situations that come up through the perspective of others and not just ourselves. We want to make a difference, but we very rarely want to make a difference by specifically wanting to help other people. In other words, we'll attach ourselves to causes or movements because it'll soothe our conscience. You know, I feel better about myself because I'm going green. Well, that's great. You know, I want to leave a smaller carbon footprint. Save the trees. Save the whales. I believe in diversity, unless you're different than me. I believe in tolerance, as long as you agree with me. But we attach ourselves to these causes, and sometimes we lose the fact that a cause ought to be attached to a person. We talk about the Bible and we talk about the Great Commission and why we have 40,000 Easter invitations. And I know every year someone wants to get on me about this. Like it's not Easter, it's Resurrection Sunday. Duh. I understand that. For us, it's Resurrection Sunday. I understand that. But for those that don't know the Lord, they think of it as Easter, so that's who we're inviting to church. But why do we do that? Now, for myself, Easter has a little bit of a special meaning. It was an Easter Sunday when I met the Lord. And so I'm glad someone went outside of themselves on a special day. That's how a cause ought to be attached to individuals, others. In our text, we see that we don't have a selfie mentality when it comes to our Christianity. You see, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We always say that, but it's because it says Lone Ranger, but even he had Tonto, okay? He wasn't even by himself. But you know what I'm saying when I say that. Life is about me only. People don't want a church family. They don't want to have Christian friends. They kind of like, I'm keeping to myself. It's just me and Jesus. And too often, the focus is more on me than it is on Jesus. But Paul is reminding the church here in Philippians that they work together. He tells them to be like-minded, have the same directions, have the same values, avoid strife that can very easily come in. He gives the solution to the whole problem if they would just follow it. Verse 3 said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but here's what he says. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Huh. Then he says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things. And by the way, we need to take care of our business, right? That's to take care of your business. I understand that. But he says, don't look every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What's the solution? Let's not just think about ourselves. Let's look at our life from the perspective of others. Esteem means to hold above. We are to hold the value of others even above ourselves. He says, look not. That means to fix your eyes upon. Don't just fix your eyes upon what I have to do and what I need to take care of. I need to purposely lift up my eyes sometimes and look at others. Reminds me of Jesus. It says, he saw the multitudes. And what happened? Because he lifted up his eyes and saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. How often do we go by somebody and we see them and I'm guilty too, by the way. You see someone begging over here or something, it's like, go get a job. Now some of them they do need to go get a job, all right? But some of them have needs. You see someone's like, they're having trouble in their life, and it's so easy for us to say, well, that's, you brought that on yourselves. And you know what? Sometimes we do bring it on ourselves. But does that mean we should not care about them? Does it mean we should not try to help them in some way? Before Paul left this section, he gave us a little example of the perfect person to help us with this. His name was Jesus Christ. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, he says, don't look on your things. Don't esteem others better than yourself. Look not just on your own thing, but look on the things of others. And then he shifts seamlessly into, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Which mind? The mind that says it's not about me, it's also about others. The mind that says I'm not going to just look about my things, I'm going to look at the things of others. See, Jesus Christ was not fixed in his position. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. What does that mean? Jesus Christ was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. He was God in the flesh. And it says that he thought it not robbery. Don't think of the terms as we would think of that word. That means that was not something to be grasped onto, to be held onto. In other words, Jesus Christ was God on this earth, but he did not come here for that reason. He came here to die for our sins. He didn't come here to say, I'm God. Now, he taught that he was God. Don't get me wrong. But that wasn't his purpose in coming to say, I'm God. His purpose was to come to die for us. He wasn't fixed on his position. He was not fixed on his place, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men. Here was the master, but he didn't come to be the master. He already was. He came to serve. Washing the disciples' feet. What a menial task. And he was the ultimate servant. Because he wasn't fixed on his person. He came to die for the benefit of others. And being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. You think, Jesus wasn't arrested because he couldn't climb a fence and get away. Jesus didn't get beat up because he wasn't tough enough to get out of it. Okay? He allowed himself. That's why for many of us, it would not be good if we were God. Right? If I was Jesus, Brother Pichardo, and I've never been mistaken for him, someone comes at me, it's like, you're going to have a pile of ashes. Okay? You know, I'm kind of got the Elijah thing. Fire from heaven. How's that working for you? Okay? But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus allowed himself to be treated like that for our sakes. Why? He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of other. There are so many great verses in the Bible that talk about how we treat one another. Turn over to John chapter 13. One of the greatest commands that God tells us is this, that we are to love one another. We're to love one another. John chapter 13 and go to verse 34. You see, and by the way, he tells us to do the same, does he not? Thou shalt love the God, Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the ultimate selfie, right? You want a selfie? Love your neighbor as yourself. So if I want to take a selfie, I got to take one with Brother Pichardo. I ain't posting that one on Instagram, I'll tell you that right now. No, we're to love others. It's our motivation. Everything we do should be motivated by love. Why did Christ die on the cross? But God commendeth. That means prove. God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know he loved me. Why? He died for me. He showed it. He proved it. And we're supposed to love others also. John chapter 13 and verse 34 says, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Now stop. We read through the Bible so fast sometimes, we just don't catch stuff, do we? Well, yeah, love one another as I have loved you. Wait a minute, time out. How in the world do you love somebody like Christ loved them? Do you understand what he suffered for us? We're not going to get there, but we ought to strive for it. It's like when the Bible says, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. It's like, are you serious? That's not easy. Why doesn't it tell the wives to do that too, Brother Pineda? It just, we just glibly go by these things, but it's like, this tells us that God wants us to love one another, and that's a commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Here we go. If ye have love one to another. Wow. What does that mean? It means it's a command. We don't think of love in terms of a command, do we? You know, husbands, we're commanded to love our wives. Command? That sounds like, you know, the honeymoon eventually ends. Now, we've been married almost 32 years. I don't know when it ends. Ours hasn't ended yet. Okay, my toes were crossed. Thank you. But you're commanded. We don't think of it, but it's like God commands us to love one another. It's a very important thing. That means it's not an option. That means it's not a feeling. By the way, we're always, everything's a feeling. That's why we struggle to make a difference in someone's life. That's why we struggle to really care for others, because sometimes, just to be real honest with you, I don't feel like it. Say, well, you're a pastor. You ought to feel like it. Pray for me. Sometimes I just don't feel like it. You know, Tuesday night, we're going to go out. We're going to pass out those invitations. It's going to be exciting. But I'll tell you what, Brother Pineda, when I go home and eat and get ready before I come, I probably don't want to, I'm not going to really feel like coming. Why don't you sit down for a while? It's like, man, let me take it easy. But you know what? I come because God tells me I'm supposed to love others. And maybe by going out and giving an invitation. I can think of many, but Juanita, she teaches our Christian school. She came, we passed out Easter invitations. She came a week early. She came on Time Change Sunday. Easter was close to time change. I just remember that year. She was sitting out in the parking lot. She was there early. I'm like, I thought it was some, because sometimes you get these college kids, they come because they have to do a report on religion, you know, and they come to church. And she had that look about her. I went over there. No, I got an Easter invitation at my door. It's like, well, sister, Easter's in a few weeks here. No, I'm good. Okay. I'm glad we, and I remember we took one of the first times we went out that year for Easter. And we took the teenagers down where she lived, over off a terminal, I think it was, somewhere in that area. And we did a track drop. We just put invitations on the door. I'm glad we did. I wonder who else is going to be reached. Not just Easter when we go out, because we're commanded to love people. Amen. Then he says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Whoa. I thought people would know I'm a Christian because I look like a Christian. No. I thought people would know I'm a Christian because I carry a Bible. No. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Remember when I was in Bible college, several of us worked at Solo Cup, and we worked third shift. And there was a carpool. There was four of us in a carpool. And then there was another guy in the college, and he opted out of our carpool. He didn't want to drive with anybody. No, I don't have anybody in my car. Well, that was fine. Well, one day, the guy in our, you know, poor college students, the guy in our carpool had to do something, so we switched shifts. That was our ride. And we were in Indiana. We worked way up in Chicago. So we asked this guy, like, look, can you just take us to work tonight? He goes, no. Bible college students, serve, you know, he was getting ready for the ministry, I guess. I don't know. I'm like, come on, we'll pay you double get. No, I don't want you guys in my car. So we're like, you know, that's fine. We'll find a ride. And I think one of the guys got a car. And then at the last minute, that so here we are. We had to leave at a certain time. It was like we left an hour early because it was a long drive. And we're over here, and we finally got a car. He walked right by us as we were looking for a ride. Said, look, our other ride just, the car. No, went to my car. I'm like, okay. So we finally got another car, but we were like 5 minutes late. And so we came in, and we were never late. We apologized to our boss, Leon. Leon was a good guy. I remember Leon. He's like, you guys are late. I'm like, I'm sorry, we had a problem with our car. He goes, why didn't you guys come with Robert? He was here on time. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't say anything. We just blew it off. But here was a problem. That morning, he needed a couple guys to stay overtime. And Robert had a car. He goes, I'll stay. He goes, I need another one of you guys to stay. And we didn't want to tell him that. I went up to him and said, look, he needs one of us to stay. Can we ride home with you? And he said, no. Brother. And we tried not to say anything. We couldn't, you know, and by the way, I wasn't going to hitchhike home. I did that one time. I got left one time. I had to hitchhike home on the freeway, and a police officer pulled me over, and she gave me a ticket for walking on the freeway. Bless her heart. But, so I'm like, Leon figured it out. And he came over to me and goes, you guys can't stay because he won't give you a ride home. And we're like, And he goes, I thought you guys were Christians. Don't you guys go to Bible college? What do you tell them? That was a very bad testimony. You know what helps people come to Christ? You know what helps people know there's something different about us? That we have love one to another. By the way, that does not always mean that we see eye to eye on things. That doesn't always mean that we don't irritate one another. How you doing, Raul? That does not mean that. He can take it. You know what it means? In spite of all of the things that people that don't know the Lord go through, in spite of all of the drama and all the nonsense, if they see Christians getting along, if they see Christians who have differences getting it together, that's a powerful testimony to them that something is different. We're putting other people first. God commands us. And God says that we're obligated to love. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know what we're supposed to, that doesn't mean you shouldn't borrow from people, although it's probably not a real good idea. But he says, we shouldn't be indebted to anybody except that we owe them a debt of love. Of love. That's our obligation. So often what happens is people come to church and they'll like our church, and this is a great church, and I kind of think it is too. But they love the people, and they're coming to church and they're getting involved. And then what happens as you get involved and you meet people, there might be something that comes up with somebody that causes irritation. They're like, what? I thought everybody was perfect. No, that's why we let you in. I remember when I went to Bible college. I'll tell you why I went to Bible college. My pastor told me to go. I didn't want to go to Bible college. I didn't finish high school. But he just pulled me. I said, you know, you should go to Bible college. I'm like, that's not why we're talking. But I went. But I thought, this is going to be great, Bible college. I mean, people that love God, people that are, and I had only been really reading my Bible and serving the Lord for 1 year before I went to Bible college. So I was really naive. And I thought, man, I'm going to be there. Everybody loves God. Everybody's on fire. They're going to help me. And then something happened. I got roommates. Now, maybe I just got the wrong one, but Tommy, I don't even know if he was really saved. I talked to him. His guys, I hate to say it, they were like pagans. I would come back from work and they're hanging in my room and doing stuff, and I got tired of it. I said, you guys all get out of here. You're not going to do that in my room. Go. I don't want to be a part of this. Now, I tried to get along with Tommy, and I did, and I love the guy, and we were, but not everybody's perfect. But we're obligated to love one another. And when you love somebody and there's an issue, you work it out. It's not the end of the relationship. It's something you work through. We're never going to make a difference until we become like Jesus Christ. until we start loving people the way that Jesus loved us. And let me just say this, it's not easy. That's why he told the Philippian church, don't think about yourself, get outside of yourself, and then he threw up the ultimate example, Jesus Christ. He tells us to love people as he's loved us. Can I just tell you something? And I'm not giving this as an excuse, but we're never going to get there. But you know what we can do? We can strive to get as close as we can be. Do we want to make a difference? We have to get outside of ourselves. That doesn't mean we neglect what we need to do. I'm not saying that, and you understand that. But I'm saying in the busyness of our life, in the busyness of everything that's going on, we need to sometimes realize I need to make sure that I don't allow that to cloud my vision and I don't see people that God would want me to love. We're supposed to love our brothers and our sisters in the church. You say, but there's someone in the church right now that's irritating me. I sure hope it's not me, but it might be. You know, well, I do that on purpose, Raul. It might be Brother Pineda. I'm irritated with Brother Pineda. It might be Brother Bichardo. No, probably not. But you know what I'm talking about. You know what you do as a Christian? You get together and you work it out. You know, I have found that most of the time if there's a situation when you go and just talk, now don't go, say, you know, you irritate me. Just say, you know what, I'm having a bad, and I don't want anything to be between us. And you know what happens? It just usually goes away. Why? We have the love of God in our hearts. And that prepares us to do the other thing. We're supposed to love everybody. If God so loved the world, shouldn't we love people? Every day, if you know the Lord, there's people that come in contact with you. And if they don't know the Lord, you may be the only person that can be a good influence on them. You may be the only person that can really reach out to them. And we're to love them. But we need to go outside of ourselves. Maybe be more like Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute, please.